the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Last time we went through the book of 1 Thessalonians, we did an overview of the book, where we learned that Paul, Silas, and Timothy preached the gospel in Thessalonica. And in a few months, there was a church. However, opposition arose in Thessalonica. Then they had to separate from this young church due to opposition. However, with continuing persecutions faced by the believers in Thessalonica, then Paul was worried. Silas, Paul, and Timothy, they were worried. But later, they rejoiced and were comforted as they heard that the church was standing firm in the Lord in spite of the persecutions. Paul wrote this letter filled with joy because of the spiritual fruits that were evident in the church of Thessalonica. This morning, we will have a look at chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, and I will read for us. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, people practice certain habits, even good habits, because perhaps they see other people doing those certain things. In Exodus chapter 12, when God instituted the Passover, he instituted it to be done a specific way. And in verse 26 of chapter 12, in Exodus, he gave them a reason to tell to the next generation when that next generation asks them why they practice the Passover that way. This morning, we will have a look at thanksgiving to God for a believer. We are commanded to pray as believers. But most often, during prayer, you would hear people thanking God for the salvation of people. You would hear people thanking God for the growth in Christ of a certain individual, even mentioning specific areas of growth as they pray, thanking God for that certain believer. Someone would be sick in the church, but people would be praying about spiritual growth of that person. If you have never asked yourself why, this morning's lesson is aimed at filling that gap, is aimed at informing that gap. If you know why, this is aimed at motivating you to do so more and more. We will have a look at three motivations of thanksgiving for one another. The first motivation for one another is our relationship with God. The first part of verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you. Paul tells the Thessalonian believers that he is so thankful to God. He is thankful to God for all believers in Thessalonica. It was Paul's habit to start his letters with expressing gratitude to God. However, the context of each letter cannot be ignored. The "we" in this statement, it shows that Paul was not the only one grateful to God, but Silas and Timothy as well. Though not stated in this letter, but when you read in verses 7, 8, and 9, you can see that other believers were thankful as well. It is a trait of a community of believers that when they see the work of the Holy Spirit in another believer's life, they get excited. They rejoice. Paul is separated from the church due to enemies of the gospel that arose in Thessalonica, as we read in Acts chapter 17. He's separated, but because of the faith in Jesus of the Thessalonian believers, because of their faith in Jesus, they continue to face afflictions from the unsaved society of Thessalonica. Now, this is what excites Paul. This is what excites Paul and others, and it even comforts him. The believers are fully convicted of spiritual truths such that they look beyond their physical afflictions. They look up to Christ. They look to Christ. Paul and others, knowing who God is, knowing the knowledge of the gospel that they deliver to Thessalonica, knowing the purity of their conduct to obedience to God, the love they had for God, even calling God our God, calling God Father, even when they were preaching the gospel, they had boldness in our God, as you read the book in 1 Thessalonica, that shows their relationship with God. Those are phrases that expressed their relationship with God as to how they view God. What excites them, though, is that they knew that this change, this transformation they see in the believers in Thessalonica, it was because of God's gracious and merciful work in the people of Thessalonica. This is like a painting by a very good artist. Normal people like me will see that painting or art and just continue with life. But those with appreciation of art, they will look at that painting and they will just sing in appreciation of the art, and also in appreciation of the artist. Paul was fully convicted that there is no person who can come to God unless God gives them power to. If you read John 6, verse 44. Convicted that no one can stand in the midst of hardships and still believe in Christ unless Christ preserves them. This is why Paul could only attribute thanksgiving to God. Because of faith in the living God and true God, when believers see or even hear of someone coming to Jesus in repentance, when believers hear of a church maturing in Christ, their response is, they are just filled with thankfulness and respond to God with thanksgiving. Why do they do that? It is because believers know God. Believers have a relationship with God. Believers get excited, they're amazed when they see the work of God. The reason we are commanded to rejoice when we see various kinds of trials is not because of physical pain. It's not because of the discouragements we feel when we are under trials. But it is the truth that we know about Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth takes first priority over physical trials. This is how we see that our relationship with God is a motivation that makes a Christian give thanks. That makes a Christian give thanks to God. The second motivation is, as we'll read in verse 2, our relationship with one another. Our relationship with one another. The second part of verse 2 says, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. The relationship Paul had with these believers of Thessalonica encouraged him to pray for them. If you read chapter 2 of this letter gives a picture of how Paul, Silas, and Timothy lived among the Thessalonians. Brotherly affection, brotherly love, the Christian love just stares you at the face as you read through this chapter. Verses 3 to 4. Brotherly love, you see brotherly love through the teaching of the truth. If you look at verses 3 to 4, when you get time, you can just go through it. Verse 6, you see the brotherly love expressed through humility. Verse 7, you see brotherly love expressed through gentleness. Verse 8, you see brotherly love expressed through sacrificial love for the saints. Verse 9, you see brotherly love through Paul, Silas, Timothy providing for themselves. In verse 10, you see brotherly love through Paul, the missionaries, being above reproach, their conduct of being above reproach. It's also an expression of brotherly love. In verses 11 to 12, you see brotherly love encouraged by the encouragement that Paul were giving to the believers, encouraging them to be holy. There's so much love that these missionaries had for these young Christians. So much love that is motivated by their relationship with God. Love motivated by their love for God. Hence, this statement, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers," it has a weight of that love. Those words, they just have the weight of love, of brotherly love. It is this love that fueled a habit of thanksgiving for other believers, to Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It was God who made this relationship. Out of obedience of Christ, Paul and others preached. God saved, and the relationship was established. And when you look at the phrase "mentioning you," this phrase gives an indication of praying for others with knowledge of a person and perhaps the details that you are praying to God for them. In Paul's prayer in chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you." The habitual prayer of mature believers is centered around spiritual maturity. It is centered around spiritual growth. Paul just wanted to see Thessalonian believers walking in a manner that is pleasing to God. So they did not pray for Thessalonian church once, but the words "always and constantly," it shows that they had developed a habit of praying for these believers due to their relationship with them. They were giving thanks for spiritual fruits that they witnessed. They were praying for spiritual fruits to increase. Also praying for more spiritual fruits. Hence, they constantly mention them in their prayers. We regularly care for each of our body parts. The reason for that is it's our bodies. Christ is the reason we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. The Holy Spirit has joined us together as members of the body of Christ. We are joined together by the power of the Holy Spirit. I belong to you. You belong to me as we are in Christ. Not even our unsaved family members have what we have in Christ. Not even death can separate us. Our desires for one another should always be growth in Christ. In chapter 3, verse 9, Paul wanted to go and be with these believers. He wanted to supply what was lacking to them. But also, he constantly prayed for them. We should share the word of God with one another. We should seek wisdom in areas of life where we are not yet Christ-like. We should come along one another in areas of life where others are weak. It is those interactions that will encourage us to be thanking God for growth that we evidence in another believer's life. And that will encourage us to be praying for growth in areas where growth is lacking. Our relationship with one another should be a motivation for thanksgiving for one another. What specific details of spiritual growth, fruits, realities of one another should we be praying for? That leads us to our third point, our spiritual fruits. Verse 3. I'll start from verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is like pointing out to a parent the good deeds of their children or of their child, yet it is the same parents who teach, discipline, and care for the child. Paul says, remembering before our God and Father. This informs us that the repentance of the Thessalonians, their preaching of the gospel, their serving of one another, brought so much joy to Paul that it could not leave his mind. It brought so much joy that it could not leave his mind. Such that when he knelt before God to pray for them, he would just explode in thanksgiving. Why? Because of the Christ-likeness he was witnessing in Thessalonica. Three spiritual fruits that were a motivation to Paul, Silas, and Timothy, that should also be a motivation to us as well to pray for one another. The first motivation, or the first fruit rather, is the work of faith. The work of faith. Looking at verses 8 and 10 of chapter 1, we see the work of faith. The phrase is, the word of the Lord sounded forth. Your faith in God has gone forth. Those are the evidence of the work of faith. The Thessalonian believers were expressing their faith in Jesus Christ verbally. They were preaching. They were now boasting in Christ. It is only through faith that we as believers are able to boast in Jesus. It is only through faith that we as believers are bold in God to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Thessalonians were not just evangelizing, but also their faith in God has gone forth. They were obeying the gospel that they were preaching. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. A person who truly believes in Jesus will live in obedience of Jesus Christ's word. You will work hard to change your life such that it grows, it continues to grow in ways that are pleasing to God. You will notice the change, and others around you, they will notice the change as well. The second fruit is labor of love, as we see in verse 3, the second part of it. In other letters in the book of Philemon, Colossians, Thessalonians being one, can't remember the fourth one. When Paul speaks about faith and love, faith is towards Christ, and love is towards the saints. This gives a picture that living out your faith in Christ is seen by the act of love you have for fellow believers. If you have faith in Christ, you will definitely have the love for other Christians. And Thessalonians were commendable for that. In chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you." Paul was preaching to the choir. It was obvious that there was light right through until the end of the tunnel. And other local churches could even testify of the love of the Thessalonians. Loving the saints brings out the beauty of a Christian heart. Hence, we as believers in a local church, we should be busy in a church. We should be working hard at showing love in ways that we can. As the saints, we should be outdoing one another in the works of love, as we are commanded in Romans chapter 12. And the third fruit, as given there in the third part of verse 3, is steadfastness of hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is an immovable hope in Jesus, trusting in Him as we live now. Trusting in Him as we live now, waiting for Him to come anytime. This is standing fast in the promises of God that are in Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, this is what Peter says to believers facing various kinds of physical trials. "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The spiritual knowledge is what makes us look at physical realities with great hope. We may be facing challenges. We may be facing good times. But as Christians, we have a greater hope that we look forward to. And that hope is our Lord Jesus Christ. It is these three fruits that were evidenced in Thessalonica. When getting good fruits from a tree, that is an evidence of a good tree. Faith, love, and hope are spiritual fruits that point to spiritual realities in a person. Jesus Christ made a clear distinction when you read John chapter 3, when in his conversation with Nicodemus. He said, "What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit." You might think you have work of faith, but not labor of love. Or perhaps you have the steadfastness of hope and labor of love, but not work of faith. That is impossible. That is impossible. All three should be evidenced. Faith, love, and hope are spiritual realities in all believers, mature and immature alike. If we can have a look at chapter 5, verse 14, I'll read for us. "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Though the church at Thessalonica had so much spiritual fruits, but there was still believers who were immature. But Paul was giving thanks to God, even for them. Because in spite of their immaturity, for them to be believers, it took the power of the Holy Spirit. It took the power of the Holy Spirit. Hence, Paul could be very thankful to God, even for them. These three fruits, spiritual fruits, they are an evidence in each and every believer that you are born again. If one is lacking, question your salvation. You might be immature in some areas and growing in others, but these three will all be evidenced in your life. Faith, love, and hope. They point to that in your life there is a Christian heart. And faith, love, and hope are the beauty of that heart. That is why we as Christians, when we see that heart in another person, we turn to God and praise Him. We turn to God and worship Him in thanksgiving, because we know no one can have faith and hope and love for other believers unless God has changed their hearts. No one can be excited by the work of church unless God has worked in their hearts. If you are in church and you are not excited with the ministry that happens around church, question your salvation. Salvation is precious. Salvation is precious. And when we see it, when we see the evidence of salvation, we turn to God and praise Him. Our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, our spiritual fruits, these are three motivations that cause us as believers to respond in thanksgiving as we behold the precious work of salvation in the life of another believer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you called us to yourself. Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, that you forgave us, Lord, our sins. You caused us, Lord, to be born again. And Lord, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, you made us members of one another, Lord, as we represent, Lord, the body of Christ here on earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can see, Lord, Christ faithfully, Lord, building his church. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one of us who's here this morning, Lord, who loves Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for them, because, Father, it is you who have caused them, Lord, to believe. We do pray, Lord, for anyone who is here, Lord, but who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, would you please save them? Would you please, Lord, soften their hearts? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, we can even refer to you, Lord, as Abba Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened our spiritual eyes to recognize you, Lord, that you are our Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.